come and speak and share what the Word of God really does and just very practical applications. So tonight we have Don Rice, correct? He's from the Gideons, and he's going to come and share some things with you, and then I'll have some closing remarks after Brother Don's done. But brother, come and share. And let's make him welcome. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. It's indeed a privilege to be here tonight to take an opportunity to tell you a little bit about the Gideon Ministry. Like to start off with a testimony first. I actually have a short video of a person where finding a Gideon Bible at the right time actually changed this person's life. So, Brian, I'll ask you to go ahead and play the first video.
I was in on my way to a state penitentiary for selling opium. They said, anybody want to go hear the Gideon? Could go to the cafeteria today. And I thought, well, I don't know what a Gideon is. Maybe a dog show, maybe a clown. I don't know, but I'll go. He was passing out these little Bibles, and I needed something to roll my periwinkles. We pick periwinkles on the side of the road and dry them out and get high with them at night. And so I took one of the Bibles and started using Matthew and Mark and Luke, started getting high with them. And the time I got to John, I figured I'd start reading it. That's where the Holy Spirit took over. I had to get the answer, how do I get saved? And Gideon came every Saturday when I was in the stockade, and led me to the Lord, and then began to disciple me. And now I'm a church planter for the Southern Baptist Convention. I pastored 30 years in Alabama, and I thank the pastors and the Gideons, because my whole household, my four children and all my grandchildren, are all in the kingdom of God. And it's because that Gideon came on a Saturday and shared Christ with me.
You know, this is not a unique testimony. Each month, as a Gideon, we get a brochure from Gideon's International. And this magazine contains literally hundreds of testimonies that are just like this, where someone has picked up a Bible in a time of need, and it's actually changed that person's life. You know, and this is probably one of our favorite testimonies. I also have Terry Gramps here and his wife Judy. Terry is also a Gideon in the Butler South Camp with me, and my wife Phyllis. But Terry has been a great inspiration to me, and it's because of Terry that I decided to also be a speaker. For me, being a Gideon has given me the opportunity not only to get into local churches, but also be around fellow Christians where you have run into testimonies like you've seen here. I wanted to be more involved in God's ministry. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but I wanted to get out and I wanted to see and participate in different facets of it, and the Gideons have allowed me to do it. Got a Green Testament here. This Green Testament is what we give out on the college campuses and universities. And as you go through this Green Testament, in the very front of it, you know, is a help section where if you have a specific need, it will allow you to go to specific verses in this testament and allow you to read God's word. But the biggest thing that I see in this testament, that if you go a little bit further in, you see John 3:16 in over 30 different languages. And when we go and present this testament on a college campus, and say you're dealing with a international student, you know, you can go to that student's specific language and share John 3:16 with them. And that's amazing, because, you know, I look at the people that are on our college campuses today, and these people that are there are the future leaders of our country and of our world. And if we can get this small little New Testament in their hands, you know, that's one way that that we can take and share God's word. And then when those people go back home, they'll take that with them. You know, and that's just a great way to get college, the word out on a college campus. You know, and oftentimes I've actually run into Christian college students that say, "Hey, look, you know, I've got my own Bible and I use that." And my answer to them is, "Well, do you have a friend that can use this New Testament?" You know, and more than likely they have always taken this and take it and share it with a friend that they know that needs this New Testament. But Gideon's International, we're now in 193 countries throughout the world. Our small little New Testaments here are available in over 80 different languages. We distribute over 80 million Bibles a year. And approximately 80% of that Bible amount is actually going overseas to foreign countries. One thing Terry had shared last week that I didn't know at a gathering that he was talking at, but the country of India has the biggest demand for Bibles. In fact, out of all the Bibles that the Gideons would distribute this year, India has said that if you sent all those Bibles to our country, we would have a means to give them out in that one specific land. But it's not hard to see the countries where there is no Gideon influence. There's places like Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Morocco, Libya, North Korea, you know, countries that are constantly in the news, heavy communist regime, of course, in North Korea, other very heavy Muslim regimes. But hopefully with prayer and constant influence by Gideon, that someday those doors will be open for Gideon presence in those countries. But our main thing with the Gideons is that we place our Bibles in the traffic lanes of life. When you came in this evening, you were each given a bulletin insert like this. I just ask that you hold on to it. The envelope that is stamped here for you goes directly to our Gideon camp that we have here in Butler County. This is a memorial Bible program where if you would like to order Bibles, you know, on behalf of someone, a loved one or whatever, you know, feel free to do that. 100% of any amount that's given to the Gideons goes directly to buying Bibles. You know, there is no administrative costs or anything like that. All the administrative costs that are charged come out of the dues that Terry and I pay each year to the Gideons International. So it's not one of these things, well, you know, 60% of your dollar is going for advertising or anything else. That's not the case. It's 100% of what is given is actually there to purchase Bibles. Want to show a second video here on a Scott Kidd. I was reviewing this, and it's interesting. It's a little funny, but I think you'd get a lot out of that too.
I was smoking pot. I was snorting cocaine. I was taking acid. Well, one day, my friends and I, we were in our apartment, and we watched a lot of TV. And the commercial said, the Navy, it's not just a job, it's an adventure. So the next morning, we got up and we joined the Navy. And I thought it was wonderful. You know, hey, I can sail the seven seas, find out the meaning of life, and get high at the same time. You know, have a good time. After a little while, we began to miss in the mountains of East Tennessee. Beautiful where we live. So we left, enjoyed ourselves, and decided we better get back before we got in trouble. They put me in a cell when I got there, and then an officer walked in. He handed me this. I didn't know what this was. I knew it was a Bible, but it was a Gideon-placed military New Testament. And as I opened up the pages of this book, I realized that I was lost. I fell on my knees in that jail cell, and I repented of my sins. And I've been preaching the gospel and in the ministry ever since. He changed my life.
Amen. You know, he talks about the military testament, and I just happen to have one in our bag. This is what it looks like now. You know, it's a little book. It's camouflage. It's actually the same thing as the Green Testament that I have here. But what's unique about this, Terry and I had an opportunity that, a year before last to be on a Bible distribution up at Ohio State. And I enjoy going to Ohio State. The last year that we were there, we were stationed right outside of the ROTC building, and it was great to see these young men and women walking in there in their camouflage fatigues. And of course, I would offer them a Green Testament, and then a lot of them would whip this out. They had this on them. You know, so they were showing me that yes, we had this, but every serviceman receives one of these. I once heard a testimony one time where Gideon, and I believe this is one that that Terry had done, where this he had given a presentation at a church, and the lady had came up to him at the end of the service and ask him to take her home. So Terry's, I guess, relinquished and took the lady home. And he said when he took her home, he got there to the front step, and the lady said, "I want you to wait right here." So she went inside, and she pulled out this Gideon New Testament, and this was from her son, who was in the Korean War. And she said, "You know, I often wondered about my son, whether he was a Christian or not." And then I turned to the back page on this this New Testament right here, and I saw where he signed it and dated it, that he had accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. So you can see the God's influence and the influence that that has on the peace of mind that's given to a parent that has a service person that may fall, you know, in the course of doing their service to our country. But what a great way. You know, I'm thankful that I've had the opportunity to work for the Gideons. Isaiah 55:11 says that so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, that it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Amen. I mean, that's what working in the Gideons and sharing God's word is. I had, you know, you might ask, well, what do the Gideons actually do in Butler County? You know, you talked about internationally and what we're doing on college campuses and stuff. We actually go out and we visit all the area nursing homes, rehab centers, the hotels, motels that are here in our county. And we go through there and we place Bibles in each one of those establishments. We also have a booth at the Butler County Fair. That Butler County Fair is coming up middle of July, and we will give out over 2,000 testaments. There'll be an orange one, but be similar to this green one right here at the Butler County Fair. You know, we have young kids, older adults too, that come up and want a New Testament and allows us to share. And I won't forget that the first year that I worked at the fair, I was there and we had this young man come up, and he was probably in his early 20s, and he pointed to a Gideon card rack that we had on our table, and it was a picture of a man in an orange jumpsuit, and he had his hands in front of him with a pair of handcuffs on. And he said, you know, that was me about a month ago. He said, I was in a Butler County jail, and I'm at a halfway house now. And we talked to the young man about Jesus Christ, gave him a testament, asked him to find an area church to become involved in the ministry in a local church and accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. But invariably, any time that we go out on a Bible distribution, there's always something miraculous. I call it miraculous, but it's something that happens. And I can give you a little personal thing that's happened to me. I was working in our plant, and I'd go around and I'd talk to individuals in our plant on a daily basis. Well, this one colored fella, I went up and I talked to him a little bit, and somehow or another, we got on his personal life and his family, and then he started sharing with me his faith in God. And I asked Julius, his name was Julius, I asked Julius at the time, I said, do you have a little small New Testament that you can carry with you? And he said, no, I don't have anything that small. So we have in within the Gideons a personal worker's testament, which is this brown testament that we can give out. So I went back, and I have several of these in my office, and I gave this to Julius, and I prayed on it, and I pray off and on for him, because he really has some trials in his life. And several weeks passed, and I was walking back through the plant, and I looked over on one of the packaging fillers, and of course the packaging equipment was running fine, and I saw Julius seated in a chair, and he had his New Testament out, and he was reading it. So, that really... when you see something like that, that's why I said seeing God's word in action, you can't imagine what that does. It reinforces your own faith and gives you the challenge to continue to move forward with this. And I've had the opportunity where, say you were in a store someplace, and you run into a sales agent and you start sharing about the Gideon ministry, but you didn't have a personal worker's testament on you. And I had this situation happen to me once again also, where I actually went back to the plant, was sitting in my office working on the computer, and it's like God was telling me, he said, Don, find a worker's testament and go back and find that young lady and give that testament to that lady. So I picked one up, and I got in my car, drove back to the store, found the young lady, and gave it to her, and she just held it to her chest just like this. She said, thank you so much. She said, today I was praying to God about something that was going on, and I was looking for a direction, and I didn't really know what direction to take, but she said, you came in with this New Testament, and I know what direction I want to go now. So, and when these things happen, they're so spontaneous, and they catch you at kind of a weak moment. You're not really that prepared for it, but with God's love and goodwill, and it's like it's a little voice is talking to you. You got to, you have to respond to it. I've got one last video I want to show. It's very appropriate because Vacation Bible School is coming up, And I think you'd enjoy this.
The drugs had totally devastated our lives, and her life was so out of control that she could no longer work. Amy's soul was in constant turmoil, and as a mother, I just wanted to fix it and make it all better, but it was beyond the power that I had. We had committed her to a hospital, and when I went to visit her, she told me, "Look what someone brought me last night." And it was a Gideon Bible. I don't really know what scripture it was that touched her heart. I just know that the girl that went into the hospital was not the girl that came out. She was just so fresh and new again. Her mind was totally clear. Shortly thereafter, almost 1 year to the day, she was in an automobile accident, and the Lord decided to call her home. I would love to see her raise a family, and I would love to see her what she would have been in life. But I had my promise of her in eternity because someone cared.
I went to a motel on Christmas Eve. I intended to end my life. I lived most of my life out of control. I had used drugs and alcohol. I was put out of my home. My wife told me to leave. And as I'm sitting in that room, I noticed the book lying on top of the TV. And I looked down and I saw that it was a Gideon Bible. And I thought, who needs that? And I took my hand and I swiped it off on the floor. Well, it fell at my feet, but it fell open. What I read changed my life. It said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Today, I'm a pastor. My family's been restored. My wife has forgiven me. We work together in ministry. All of this because of one Bible in one room and one night. Thank God for the Gideons, and thank God for the Bibles that they put in the motel rooms.
That video kind of gets you right here. In fact, that Jesus Love Me song is one that we sung at our church this morning. Our church is getting ready to go into Vacation Bible School next week. Same exact format as what you will have here in July. Pastor shared with us a little bit this morning. He's got a granddaughter who is going to bring a friend to Vacation Bible School this coming week, and he overheard her young friend say, "Well, what do you do at Vacation Bible School?" Well, the pastor's granddaughter said, "Well, you learn about Jesus." And her little friend said, "Well, who is Jesus?" So there's kids out there today that have no idea who Jesus is or any Christian influence in their life. So the opportunity is there to share and to at least give young people the right information, and then it's left up to them to make the decision. And that's what we do is we take these small little New Testaments and we place them in the traffic lanes of life. And you can change the world by one book at a time. That pretty much concludes what I have this morning, this evening. I'd like to offer a prayer, if I can. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight to share about the Gideon ministry and the influence that the Gideons have throughout the world, Lord. Lord, we're thankful for North Fairfield Baptist Church, Lord, and the positive influence that this church has on this community. We're thankful for Pastor Wilson and his leading of the church here, Lord. Lord, we just are thankful for the Gideon ministry and the opportunity to share your word, not only in Butler County, but also worldwide, Lord. And we know that there's Gideons that are in countries today that are in danger of for sharing your word, Lord. And we just ask that you be with each and individual Gideon, that you be with their family, that you provide safety and comfort to them, Lord, and allow them to continue to spread your word, Lord. Lord, we're just thankful that we live in a free country today that allows us to share your word to anyone with a need, Lord. Lord, we are thankful for this day, Lord, and we just ask that when we leave this place tonight, your light will shine through us to our community. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Don. Let's give him a round of applause, please. God bless you, brother. I'm always excited to hear about what the Word of God does in such settings as that. Amazingly enough, about a year ago, Brenda and I actually had a neighbor's kid in our subdivision, probably about 3.5, 4 years old, didn't know who Jesus was. That's unbelievable, isn't it? And a couple years back, we had some folks here that talked about working in the inner city and not understanding the Christmas story, not understanding the Easter story, any stories of such in the Bible because they really don't know. They're not shared from the Word of God. So briefly tonight, I want to finish up and conclude and talk about how powerful the Word of God really is. It is quick. It is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, the Bible tells us. And I do want to speak briefly tonight about the absolute perfection of the Word of God. As I look at the Word of God, I do see absolute perfection without error. The Bible is the Word of God, and if it is the Word of God, then it must be perfect. It cannot have flaw. It cannot have error in it. The Word of God says this about itself in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 through 17. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word is God-breathed, we could put in there. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for good work. God breathed out the Scriptures, and the God of truth cannot inspire error. If God is holy, God is righteous, God is all the things that we are not, then what he has breathed out, what he has spoken through men is without error. It's a combination, that idea of inspiration of God. It's a combination of Greek words. It just simply means that God breathed it out. And if God breathed it out, I want to stress again, it must be absolutely perfect. David wrote these words in Psalms 19, chapter, verse 7, that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Let me stress again, his word is perfect. My words are not perfect, but his words are always perfect. Christ said that the scripture cannot be broken. How can foolish man think that they can break what cannot be broken? They've tried to stomp this out. They've tried to put it away. They've tried to water it down. But the fact of the matter is, as we saw tonight in testimony after testimony, that the inerrant word of God placed in the right situation, under the right circumstances, will have a profound effect, and it will go out to its intended receiver, and it will not return void. You know, I've read a lot of literary things in my time. I'm a bit of an avid reader, and I have read things from different cultures and different backgrounds. I've never seen a literary promise other than what you quoted tonight from Isaiah, where God's word will go out to its intended receiver and it will not return void. No other literary promise I have ever read has made that kind of promise. Only God's word can make that promise. Why? Because there's a character behind the word of God. God not only calls his book the word of God, but he also calls his son the word of God. John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 3, it tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Revelation, John has revealed, this is revealed to John the Revelator, his name shall be called the Word of God. The Holy Spirit so inspired the writers, and whether it's the Green New Testament or the Orange New Testament, or it's the book that Brother Bob used to read from when he would do communion. Here he had a special little Bible that he would do communion from every communion service. It is still without error. It's inspired, and the writers, the Holy Spirit so inspired the writers that call both Jesus and the Bible, the Word of God. So when we read the Bible, we are actually getting a vision of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. That means the character of the Bible and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ are inseparable. Jesus is without error. This Word is without error. The Word was without error. He is without error. So if you read the Bible from cover to cover, you are reading the written Word and the living Word of God. So I want to underscore this beautiful, miraculous connection that we have about the Word of God. There was conception that brought the Word of God into being. 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, I've already read it, but you remember these words. All Scripture is given by God, by inspiration, God breathed. You know, God brought the Word of God into existence. He also brought the living Word into existence. I'll read again from John, the 1st chapter, verse 14. And the Word became flesh. There was a moment that which was without error, that which was without beginning and without end, stepped into society, stepped into the realm of mankind, and he became flesh. And the Bible tells us this wonderful thing. We beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Behold the Word of God, you behold the Lord Jesus Christ. You behold the Lord Jesus Christ, you behold the Word of God. And it also promises that it will continue on. There's a continuation. Isaiah says, the grass withereth and the flower does fade, but the Word of God will stand forever. You'll not stomp it out. You'll not do away with it. The living Word, Jesus Christ, by the way, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's creativity in the Word of God. The written Word, Hebrews says this, by faith we understand that words were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which we are seeing are not made of things which are visible. The living Word of God, Colossians, the 1st chapter, verse 16. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, invisible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him, for him. Conversion. I love these stories. I could listen to these stories of conversion over and over and over again. I just love to hear it. The written word has a powerful effect. Peter writes this in 1 Peter, the 1st chapter, verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The living word, this is what's said about Jesus Christ. In him we have redemption, in Ephesians the first chapter, verse 7, through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. The word of God provides cleansing. The written word, this is what it says about the written word, what we read. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. John, the 15th chapter, verse 3. The living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what it says. 1 John 1, 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And condemnation. You know, the written word of God can condemn somebody, and the living word of God can condemn somebody as well. He rejects me and does not receive my words, has that which judge him. The words that I've spoken will judge him in the last day. And the living word, in John the 5th chapter, verse 22, it says, for the Father judged no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. So friend, I want to be clear tonight. Church member, guest, this book is spotless and Jesus is spotless. Amen? So I preach, you're not going to hear me get up on a Sunday morning and go into a 20-minute tirade about what I did last week or going on this or that. I'm pretty much going to get after the Word of God after I get up here and get to preaching because it's all that I have. I do my best to give you the Lord Jesus Christ and give you his inerrant word. And the Holy Spirit's guidance, we can logically conclude that we have the word of God before us. Now, there's also power in the word of God. This holy book, it pulsates with power. Did you hear those testimonies of how men and women were changed? Imagine that lady. The only assurance that she had was her daughter getting a Gideon's Bible and reading about the Lord Jesus Christ, not knowing what scripture that had had the profound effect on her, but just at least having the assurance that the Word of God, the power of the Word of God, had a profound effect on it. I tell you, I read John 3:16. I learned to quote it when I was a little boy, and it has a profound effect on me even to this day. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have life everlasting. This book pulsates with power. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verse 13. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So let's outline the word of God, how it effectively works in us. First of all, we are convicted by the word of God. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to divide the soul and spirit and the joint and marrow and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Man, I have never cut anybody with this, but the Lord Jesus Christ and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit can sure get after somebody. Amen? Pastor Mark can't, but the Word of God can. We're converted by the Word of God. John, the first chapter, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, he gave them the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We're cleansed by the word of God. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Those people weren't saved by the Gideons. They were saved by the Bibles that the Gideons are passed out and the word that they've read. And we're controlled by the word of God. I love this scripture. It's one that I've learned so many years ago. Psalms 119th chapter, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. That means God can direct us. He can give us vision. The darkest places in life, he can light up and give you guidance just to take the next step. It's a wonderful thing to think about. And finally, we are confirmed by the word of God. You know, in the mornings, I get up and I read this book, and I'm in the process of reading through the Bible again in 90 days. That's something I do. If you're interested in how to read through the Bible in 90 days, I have some copies of that. It takes about 45 minutes a day to get that done. If you're a better reader than me, you might do it in 30 minutes a day. I'm not the quickest reader in the world, but I just love to read the Word of God. I've been reading through the Old Testament and just taking in the story after story after story of all these miraculous things that God did, and still loving people in spite of themselves. But it confirms me that God loves me in spite of myself. And I want to read to you from John, the 5th chapter, verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has been passed from death to life. Man, I know that I have life because I have read in this book, and the Holy Spirit just signals off into my life. Well, that's you. That's you. You're saved. I'm going to heaven. I don't worry about whether I'm going to heaven or not. That's already been set, sealed, and done. You know, it's God. God's taking care of that. And when I read the Word of God, even when I have done something that I'm ashamed about, when I've lost my temper, man, I had a guy call me up today, and my wife had to call me down on the phone. She said, Mark, don't lose your temper. But he told me he'd been a member for 3.5 years here. And I said, no, you haven't been a member for 3.5 years here. You may think you've been a member here for 3.5 years, but you've not been a member for 3.5 years here. It takes a little more than showing up 3 times in 3.5 years to be called a member at North Fairfield Baptist Church. It takes being born again in God's kingdom, and it takes coming forward and acknowledging that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and it takes a little knowledge about what we do here and what we don't do here. That's how you become a member at North Fairfield Baptist Church. By the way, that's pretty typical over most New Testament churches, whether it's Baptist or Church of God or whatever. You know, and I did get on my Stormy North side, Brenda. I'm sorry about that, but it did. I got fired up over that one. Anyway, we're confirmed by the Word of God. So what's the bottom line? Clearly, the Bible is God's Word. It is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something I was taught many years ago about the Old Testament. Anywhere you cut it, it bleeds, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the Old Testament. And what has happened is that there has been an onslaught to try to discredit the Word of God. And listen, I've said this. I think, Jeremiah, you may have repeated this in our meeting last week or on Thursday, where I said something a couple weeks ago or maybe last week, where there's not a situation. I think it was Dan Snodgrass on Wednesday night said this, now I think about it. There's not a situation in life that you can't find in this book and how to get through it. I don't care what you're talking about. It is the manual that God has sent down about his son, and his son was the perfect human being, and he is God incarnated, but he also sent in there instructions for us how we live out, how we interact. So 6,000 years ago, Satan came to this earth, and he got a hold of Eve and said, has God said? Well, that same lie has been told continually. That's in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, counting doubt on the Word of God. After hearing these stories, how can you have doubt about this Word? Now, think about yourself. After knowing what the Word of God has done for you in your life, not thinking about where you're at now and where you want to go, but just think about what has happened in your past, has the Word of God made a difference in your life? And I would venture to say that every single person in this room has got that special time, those special instances where God's Word has made such a profound difference. So what gives God's Word its authority? Well, it's the Word of God. It's just that simple. Think about it this way. A check has no authority of its own. The name attached to that check gives it all its authority. God's name's on this book. Amen? So I want to close out with one of my favorite lyrics to a contemporary Christian song. It just says, red letters. And it's about the Word of God. It's poetic and it's really beautiful words. Pages filled with the holy message, sealed with a kiss from heaven on a scroll long ago. Phrases, words that were bound together, now have the power to sever like a sword evermore. Heed the words divinely spoken. May your restless heart be broken. Let the supernatural take hold. There is love in the red letters. There is truth in the red letters. There is hope for the hopeless, peace and forgiveness. There is life in the red letters. One man came to reveal a mystery, changing the course of history, made the claim that he was God. Ageless, born of the Virgin Mary, spoke with a voice that carried through the years, it's preserved. Heed the words divinely spoken. May your restless heart be broken. Let the supernatural take hold. The living word and the written word. Amen. Would you stand with me? Dale, would you come and Matt and prepare a song for us? Let's have a word of prayer. Tonight we're going to be receiving an offering for the Gideons back in the end of the sanctuary here, the back side of the sanctuary. They'll be receiving an offering. If you feel so compelled to give, I would ask you to do that. That money goes directly to them. Also, with the handouts that they have, I'm sure they'd be happy to receive it if you'd like to mail them a check. So let's pray. Again, Father, we thank you for your love and for your provisions. Thank you for Don and Lord, his commitment just to simply to share the word of Christ. And Father, I pray that we'll never forget that we have the most influential thing, the most powerful thing on planet Earth, the written word and the living word. The living word is inside us. It is vibrant. It is present. But Father, we also have this written word that at times it goes beyond just being a mirror. It really goes to this thing where we see ourselves and we don't like what we see and we need to do some things about it. And Lord, as I've read your word and continue to read your word, Lord, I pray that it'll continue to reveal the imperfections in my life. Those moments when I get mad and get fired up, or those moments, Father, when I get weak and really succumb to temptation that I shouldn't. May I draw upon your word because I have rested in your word. I've studied your word. I've done my best to study to show myself approved. For this congregation tonight, I pray, Father, that you will move mightily. We have VBS coming up, and that's just simply, Lord, just sharing the word of God. I pray for Lori, and I am so grateful that so many have come alongside her, and she was sharing with me tonight that they still need some help in some areas, but not as much help as we needed before. So we pray, Father, that these last things that need to be filled, need to be taken care of, that some folks can commit one or two nights just to serve, just to make sure kids are in a room or make sure that they've got their meals and just being really the living word in their life. So we thank you for that. And we pray, Father, during this invitation time, if there's a need, that someone would come forward and make that known, or they'll share that with me after the service. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.